By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
You are listening to Resolution Radio on ResolutionRDO.com.
They are coming. Coming for us all. Unstoppable force of men forged into iron with their fires and machinery of war. Driven before them are those who betray everything beyond their greed, hate, and anger. Do you betray everything and decide to flee your hide? Or will you take your best and stand for the fight? Fight for your life, for what is dearest to you, for honor and death. Let your name be worthy of you. But remember, the war consumes us all.
Land that gave us birth and blessing, land that called us ever homewards. We will go home across the mountains. We will go home, we will go home, we will go home across the mountains.
Shall I explain to you in one easy lesson how the world works?
Use small words. I'm not as bright as you.
The house that puts family first will always defeat the house that puts the whims and wishes of its sons and daughters first.
Draupnir.
A good man does everything in his power to better his family's position.
Geiri, Freyki.
Regardless of his own selfish desires.
Sleipnir.
Right there on his hammer, it says, word Ray Hole. That is the answer to every bit of this. This is how you do this. You do this through racial holy war. That is the only thing that will ever, ever bring about any kind of hope or solace for our people. Racial holy war. Most important things. that I could possibly imagine that anybody could ever say to anybody. First and foremost, we must secure the existence of our people and the future for white children.
Here.
If somebody wants to ask you why that is important, it is important because just like Dr. Lewis said earlier, we paraphrase because the beauty of the white Aryan woman must not perish from the other. That is the answer to all of it, period. I think one of the most important things we could ever do, and I'm not trying to turn this into any kind of juvenile thing, if you do not know the 14 words, use your motherfucking fingers and learn them tonight. We must secure the existence of our people and a future for white children. If you cannot say that, brothers and sisters, I don't know how much you love your race. Secondly, the most important thing that I think I could possibly share to my people. Hello.
They want you eliminated. Don't give them the pleasure. So there it is, boys and girls. The hard-to-swallow pill that too many of our people have been putting off taking for far too long. They don't want to accept that this is a war to the knife, or that they are the ones who will be stuck like a pig and left to die by their diverse friends. And don't make the mistake of thinking that if you abide by the law and obey the powers that be, that you can win this fight. We have already reached a point where the law is failing us. And if you don't believe me, just ask some of our LS members who are currently sitting in Virginia jails because they had the audacity to defend themselves against physical attacks by mobs of Negroes at Charlottesville. When the law falls into the hands of evil men and is perverted from its true purpose, then free men, are morally bound to resist and overthrow such tyranny, and with violence if necessary. There's a well-known ancient Latin phrase, si vis pacem, para bello. If you want peace, prepare for war. But the time has come to get plumb mad dog meat. And that if you lose your head and give up, then you neither live nor win. And that's just how it is. I say to you, in imitation of that great Confederate general, Nathan Bedford Forrest, war to the knife and the knife to the hilt!
But a kingdom that has once been destroyed can never come again into being, nor can the dead ever be brought back to life.
Hello, everyone. This is Patricia Negron filling in for Sunny Thomas tonight. I wanted to talk with you about the Second Amendment and the latest developments in Virginia, and also talk about some of the ways in which we as individuals and communities can respond in order to regain, or at least begin the process of regaining, our personal sovereignty. And by that process, regaining the sovereignty of our communities and states as well. The latest developments, as I understand them, is that the most recent efforts in Virginia to pass these red flag laws were sabotaged by, to some extent, the efforts of the committee to pass this legislation in advance of the originally scheduled date of January 20th, and by, in order to avoid the planned protest. Well, thankfully, news got out, and the protest did take place, but the government was put under such pressure as to back down, at least to some extent. However, it appears that all of the efforts are still moving forward in order to pass these laws. And this is also reinforced by the reality that there are numerous other states poised to pass similar laws once these go through in Virginia. And my understanding is now there, the attendance at the rally was very, very large, considering it was a state-level issue, not a federal-level issue. My understanding is there were maybe 50,000. There were obvious smear attempts in the mainstream media to paint the protesters themselves as extremists and violent and raging lunatics for the most part. But that proved a disaster, as well as many propaganda ploys seem to be falling flat in the mainstream media as the public at large grows increasingly aware of the overt efforts to manipulate their understanding of these situations. So the protest really seemed to draw very positive attention and bring a much more publicly palatable view of the issue than the media certainly wanted to happen. And as a result, there seems to be a wider national level of support to push back on these laws that are clearly vast encroachments on individual rights. And I think some of the aspects of this that really give credence to the seriousness of the issue and why it goes way beyond, you know, the arguments that are made regarding the types of weapons and reasons for owning weapons that are made by the anti-gun lobby, really point to the fact that our Second Amendment right is really the last constitutional right that we have available to us. And the irony being that the Second Amendment was specifically established for the purposes of Americans to defend themselves against tyrannical governments. It wasn't even, you know, a question of self-protection in the sense that, you know, there were hostile parties that, you know, were attacking or, you know, an immediate threat. It really was to allow Americans to organize and defend themselves against a tyrannical government. And we could not have anything closer to a tyrannical government than what we've got right now, except for that Second Amendment. And the real irony of which is that it was not used to defend against the laws, all of the other laws that have been passed to strip us of, you know, our first, you know, second, fourth. I mean, you go through the list and we've already been stripped bare. You know, the elimination of habeas corpus under Obama, and now we have drone assassinations with, you know, where a single individual is judge, jury, and executioner. You know, you can be indefinitely detained and never given access to an attorney or a phone call. And this is perfectly legal now in the United States, legal in the sense that it is state sanctioned, though it is a direct violation of our constitutional rights. And then, you know, and the Patriot Act under Bush. I mean, you know, all of these presidents, it's the same thing. There is never any divergence from the same path toward complete fascism in the United States. I mean, you know, there's also under Obama, Loretta Lynch brought back civil asset forfeiture. So now, not only can you be arrested, never charged, never given access to an attorney or to family members, and this is done all the time now. It's not a rare occurrence. It happens to ordinary citizens like you and me simply for objecting to the corruption in our government and daring to demand justice and an end to it. So, you know, you can also have all of your property seized, never be charged with a crime, and have absolutely no redress whatsoever. And again, this is not just theoretical. This is in regular practice where, you know, again, people like you and me who are, you know, giving the government a hard time and agitating them will use these practices to terrorize regular folks in journalists and others into silence and compliance. Also, this goes even to our children with the establishment of child protective services by the Clinton administration, which has turned into nothing more than a child trafficking operation where your children, again, this is used as a weapon against anyone who dares to speak out against government corruption or speak the truth about what's really going on, for example, in Europe with this forced migration. You know, their children are taken and they are adopted out to other families before the parents can even object. They have no recourse. And the people who are taking the children, you don't even have to be charged with a crime. They are taking children for no reason whatsoever other than, you know, making up an excuse about vaccinations or other, you know, negligence that is never pursued as a crime. And families are losing children like this and never to have any ability to fight back. So, you know, this is the reality in which we live, and you know, I think many of Sunny's listeners are aware that we are really very down to the very end now with defending our Second Amendment rights. And I say this as someone who actually was on the other side of this issue, not 2 years ago, 3 years ago. You know, I was totally caught up by the propaganda, and I did not understand the issue for what it was, though I certainly do at this point. One, I hear a lot of people, Americans, who are aware of this and rightly concerned about it, speaking about their willingness to use their Second Amendment right to defend this and fight any attempts to seize their weapons. But, you know, truly, the one certain path forward to success for us is rebuilding the family structures, the community structures, and the municipal structures that will serve us going forward. And the irony here is that while, you know, many, I think, still perceive their enemies to be, you know, among their neighbors or adjacent communities, you know, the truth of the matter is that there are only a handful of individuals you know, relatively speaking, out of the, you know, 6.5 billion of us, there are a few thousand who are really behind almost all of the violence in the world. And they're also the ones behind, you know, these ploys to pit us against one another and paint, you know, different groups of people in these lights where they're demonized. So, you know, for example, many of the people who were at the protest in Virginia were painted as white supremacists and extremists and violent, and that's simply not the case. Well, that's also what's happening with these groups of individuals abroad that we are taught to hate in order to justify our violence against them, when ironically, they are the people who are attempting to fight the very same forces that we are up against right now. And some examples include Libya. Libya is an African nation that was the wealthiest on the continent, had undertaken major decades-long infrastructure projects to improve the lives of Libyans, one of which was the Great Man-Made River. In fact, it was considered one of the great wonders of the world. And it drew the ancient aquifers, the water from the ancient aquifers underneath the land, and directed them across the desert and allowed the Libyan people to farm what was previously unarable land. And Gaddafi was proposing to introduce a pan-African currency, a gold-backed dinar. He had, though, a dictator on some levels, the Libyan people had what resembles, the most closely resembles what's called a direct democracy. And this is where the people themselves choose what laws to vote on and then vote on those laws themselves. And for national level issues, they would choose delegates from their communities that would go to attend whatever the convention was on a national issue and to vote on behalf of the community from which they were appointed on that issue. And then that was the end of it. There are no professional politicians, so they can't be corrupted, these individuals. Nobody's going to vote in your best interest but you. And so that's why representative government is truly a fraud. But that doesn't mean we don't need leaders. And those people who would otherwise occupy office, you know, such as someone like Sonny Thomas, who's running for office, you know, these can be the community leaders that are often so useful in these efforts to achieve environments where direct democracy is used. So this is Libya, and this is a continent that, you know, is regularly plagued by violence, but it's violence that is being brought about by the very same people who are trying to take our guns right now. So that was on the African continent. You know, recall pre-World War II Germany. This was something that Adolf Hitler had, a program that he had implemented, very similar. He had this, you know, independent currency. The other thing is Islam. And Islamic banking forbids usury. This was totally new to me this year. And this is verifiable, easily verifiable. And it explains, you know, why, a Rothschild bank would not be welcome in these countries. So, and this is something that Adolf Hitler, one of the main strategies he used to boost the German economy was to eradicate usury. So you look at Venezuela and Bolivia and these countries that are, you know, being faced with the same forces that are, you know, that destroyed Libya and Iraq and the Ukraine and are destroying Donbass and destroyed Germany back, you know, during World War II. They're all the same forces. So, you know, but at the same time, these examples, historical examples, give us, you know, the tools that we can use ourselves in order to overcome. And one of the things that has also become apparent is that while on occasion these armed insurrections do succeed, it's usually only temporary success. And it's these infrastructure issues that are most critical for any military insurrection to achieve lasting success. So, and these kinds of things are doing things like voting on the community level and establishing the infrastructure on a small scale, and then working with leaders like someone like Sonny Thomas to then deploy these on community and municipal level. So we're going to take a break right now for a moment for commercials, and then we'll be back.
Reality check. Rampant hacking. Identity theft. Mass surveillance. Defending yourself today is not an option. It's a requirement. Introducing the Conceal Shield Travel Pack from DefenderShield.com. Conceal Shield is cutting-edge wireless blocking technology that eliminates all signals, including EMF, GPS, and RFID. Place cell phones, credit cards, IDs, and other trackable items into the Conceal Shield, and they become totally invisible. Get Conceal Shield now at DefenderShield.com. Use promo code CONCEAL for 10% off. Guard your privacy, secure your data, and protect your health with Conceal Shield.
You're listening to Resolution Radio, Radio, Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
You're listening to The Sonny Thomas Show with Sonny Thomas on ResolutionRDO.com. Call in or listen now at 607-203-5423. That's 607-203-5423.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size for incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency. Get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
We have the new product at InfoWarsLife.com, BioTrue Selenium.
We've had so many requests over the years for selenium, and just recently, we were able to source a certified organic bioavailable selenium from mustard seed extract. When you take selenium in the body, it actually benefits the detoxification systems in your body. It helps balance the thyroid gland. It helps detoxify.
Selenium is another one of those absolute must-haves.
The highest concentration of selenium is in the thyroid gland, but it's actually used all over the body. As a matter of fact, there's 25 genes in the body that are directly dependent upon selenium. So it really is a all-around nutrient that everybody really needs.
I'm taking it now every day. This is so key. BioTrue Selenium is the product, the best selenium that we could bring you. We believe it's the best out there at a very, very low price. Exclusively available at InfoWarsLife.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139.
welcome back, everyone. I wanted to, as I mentioned before the break, talk about some of these methods by which folks can start practicing and exploring their, you know, in sovereignty, not only as individuals, but families, on a community level, and then again on a more organized level for town or county or something along those lines. So, and this is something that as Americans is never discussed. And I had a quick conversation with Sunny before the program tonight about the loss of state sovereignty that we have experienced across the United States. You know, when you contemplate the subversion of us as individual states to these oppressive federal institutions, I mean, you realize that, we're not a group of United States. We are united under this crushing federal system that has turned out to be nothing more than a giant looting operation. And one of the ways in which Americans are looted is through debt. And, you know, again, that's a topic that that comes up, you know, whenever you find one of these countries that eliminates usury, they find incredible success. And it's because it's a sure path to enslavement. And one of the questions I think legitimately people ask when talking about, you know, the idea of possibly as states, for example, the conversation I had with Sunny was, you know, this a mass secession of states from the, you know, this republic in order to regain our sovereignty. And I mean, truly, that's really what the goal has to be in order to finally disengage and neutralize this federal system that we're under. But one of the questions is like, you know, well, how do you undertake projects? You know, what about businesses? How do things continue to function? What do you replace it with? And those are very good questions. But, interestingly, there are very simple solutions. And again, we're never taught about these because they would undermine this, you know, system of financial enslavement that is being used against us systematically. So one of the ways, you know, I think for many of us, the whole question of justice is the one that is most pressing, because we just sit here and watch the criminals constantly, you know, walk free and continue not only to occupy the halls of power, but get promotions. And then it's only the whistleblowers and journalists and, you know, individuals like us who stand up against to try and stop this are the ones that wind up in prison. And I think we also understand, I think people, in this audience understand too that, you know, the propaganda is extremely valuable to the criminal cartels behind all of this violence and war. And that's why, you know, for us, having our own networks, information networks, and ability to vet content and share it is so important. And doing that in person is also a skill to develop that we've been conditioned out of with, you know, I think many people have heard the saying, you know, never talk politics and religion. It's considered bad manners. Well, it's bad manners only for the bankers, you know, because otherwise we would be talking about the fact that they're robbing us blind. So how do you get around that as a business or, someone who wants to help develop your, you know, community's resources in a way where you can trade with others and use it to support the people who live there. And there are several ways to do this. My own background, I should just for your understanding, is that I spent 30 years in Wall Street finance and worked in asset management, which would be like the Fidelity, the big money managers where you invest your Vanguard, those guys, where you invest your retirement funds and all of that. And then I also worked for investment banking, where you do the initial public offerings and you raise money for companies. And I only did work in the equity markets, not the debt markets. But then I also did many years of work in corporate finance, where I worked on the board of directors, for example, for a New York Stock Exchange listed multinational, where we would negotiate both equity and debt instruments to use to finance the company's activities. And then I also worked in private equity. You know, the whole time I was searching for a way to work in finance, Wall Street finance, where, you know, you're helping people, you're helping create value and building something. But I just kept finding everywhere I went that that was never the case, and that all you were doing was extracting money from whatever the source was. There was nothing legitimate, it seemed to me, about what was going on. And upon leaving, I left 3 years ago altogether. And, you know, I can say with all honesty that, you know, Wall Street is nothing but a Ponzi scheme. And, you know, these fake, just like I was saying about these, you know, state-sanctioned arrests and drones, you know, assassinations and, you know, confiscations of personal property and all. The same thing goes for what's happening on Wall Street, is that their criminal activities are simply sanctioned by Congress and these representatives who care nothing about you and me and are only busy protecting their own interests. So there are ways in which you can, given that background, you know, it left me wondering, you know, what really are the options when, you know, high finance really is not a legitimate one. There are, you know, there are banks, community and local banks, which are legitimate options, but there's also something that I think is a much more powerful model to think about or just keep in mind, is the employee-owned business. This is something that is actually gaining a lot of traction already, and there's a lot of momentum behind it. The bankers don't make any money on it, so you don't hear about it very often, but it is an incredibly powerful model that is one that is highly sustainable as opposed to the Wall Street finance model. And it's one that really solidifies communities and helps build value that can then be leveraged by the community itself, so that the employees have a vested interest in the business. They're, you know, people who are not contributing, are not tolerated. You know, you have a much more loyal, protective, solid foundation from which to function. And thus, decision-making is, you know, always serves the community as a whole. Whereas when you're talking about the corporate model, they're only ever focused on the shareholders. I mean, that is the bottom line for them, always. So it's even a preferable model. And it's one that is really easy to implement on a local level. And this is a model that can be leveraged and is very difficult to corrupt as well. So, you know, this is very tangible and achievable. As I mentioned before, you know, where do you get justice? Thankfully, there are people who have thought about all of these issues before, one of whom is a man by the name of Kevin Annett, who has written a book about exactly how to carry out a citizen tribunal. And citizen tribunals are perfectly legal and legitimate. And he goes through in his book the explanation of, you know, the Magna Carta and how that really sets the foundation for all of this and how to apply that legitimately in our own circumstances. And what that means is that where we are faced with a justice system that is clearly operating, functioning in order to protect all of the very worst criminals among us and the ones who have the most power, we can use citizen tribunals where groups of people convene, and you don't even have to be from the same community. You agree on a certain set of charges against a certain person or set of people, and you agree to review the evidence of those crimes. So you could be from a community where you have members that were experimented on with vaccines, for example, in the military, and bring charges against, you know, Pentagon officials or whomever you believe are the most culpable. And if assuming you reach a verdict of guilty as a citizen tribunal, those indictments are and convictions are considered legitimate by certain other governments. For example, as I mentioned, Kevin Annett had he wrote this book about how to conduct citizen tribunals, but he also did lead a citizen tribunal against Vatican officials as well as the Church of England and Canadian officials, I believe, for crimes against children. And these convictions, my understanding is that Spanish authorities have agreed to recognize the arrest warrants as valid in Spain. So should any of these individuals go to Spain and should deputized sheriffs attempt to arrest them, the Spanish government, my understanding is that they would allow the arrest and recognize it as legitimate. This kind of thing, you know, is practiced all over the world, and we just don't hear about it again because as Americans, we're so insulated from this kind of thinking for specific purposes of controlling us more effectively. And so there are many communities around the world. For example, in Spain, they have this whole Catalan movement going. But in addition, there's this region up in the northwest called Galicia, where it is a autonomous community. They have their own president, but they function as part of Spain. You know, this is all perfectly legitimate to us, and we need to start thinking of this as real possibilities and not just, you know, that we're going to, you know, confront a bloody battle to free ourselves. You know, it really is. Psychologically, as I mentioned, the propaganda is meant to make you feel, you know, neutralized or incapable in these respects. So it's really important that people talk about and engage in conversation where they're talking about these kinds of things as though, you know, they're real, they're achievable, and they're things that we should be pursuing. They're perfectly natural because, they, as I mentioned, they exist, they work very well, and there's absolutely no reason why we can't put them to work for us. And in fact, if we hope ever to succeed with our efforts, then we're going to have to get good at this stuff. We have to have something to replace the systems that are failing us now. So, you know, these citizen tribunals, you know, I think are a really great place to start, just because, as I mentioned earlier, with this, you know, the psychological aspect of this is really important, and you know, the propaganda that's meant to make us feel you know, as though we're powerless against all of this, we have to send signals to the world that, you know, we can have an impact, and we can take action and ownership, and we can regain our sovereignty and go after these people. And I have to believe that there are individuals out there who, you know, if you're willing to defend your Second Amendment right and die doing that, then, you know, certainly these are people who are willing to pursue justice in the arrest of these, you know, incredibly high-level criminals that are an imminent and ongoing threat to all of us. I mean, they are killing us in all kinds of different ways. We may not have missiles dropping down on our heads, but we are being poisoned systematically every single day by chemtrails, fluoride, pesticides, you know, the poisons in our vaccines. I mean, my God, these are bioweapons, and they literally are killing tens of thousands of us every single year. And we, you know, these are the kinds of casualties you would see in a hot war, and that we do see in Syria, and we saw in Libya, Iraq, Afghanistan, you know, tens upon tens of thousands of people being killed year after year. That is what is being done to us here, but these are just silent weapons. We need to start holding these people accountable and not keep waiting for someone else to do it. There are no white knights. You know, even where there are good people who are on the inside, the system is such that they get crushed every single time. I mean, you know, General Michael Flynn is a great example of that. You know, this is a guy, he was totally set up. It was literally entrapment by the FBI and these false charges against him. But he ends up losing his house. They threaten his son, and he ends up having to plead guilty to a crime he didn't commit, and his career was ended. You know, but this is also a guy who acknowledged himself that he knew the U.S., the CIA, the Pentagon were the ones who created, funded, and armed ISIS. Yet, he, as a general in the U.S. military, went out there pretending to fight them. He knew it was a scam. So he was as much a part of the system as anyone. And when he tried to do the right thing, he got crushed. We saw it all with our own eyes. They shut him down completely. So even where you have, you know, these good guys, and I consider, you know, just, you know, he is responsible. General Michael Flynn has committed war crimes by virtue of his acts throughout his career. And everyone should be held accountable. But at the same time, he did try and push back. But, you know, my point being that we see our systems are designed to crush any kind of opposition. We cannot look to them. for any salvation. So, you know, the other things too that I think a lot of people don't realize, and I did not either myself, being, you know, from the world of Wall Street, I thought only in terms of, you know, currency and hard asset and as being exchangeable in terms of international trade. And the truth of the matter is that countries all the time barter. One example is that Nicaragua has an agreement with Venezuela to trade beans for oil. And, you know, there is no reason why the rest of us can't do this as well. And so, again, where people have concerns, it's like, okay, well, if you don't have the federal system, how do you conduct trade and all this other stuff? It's like, you know, there barter is, you know, you just have to look at the trend in Eurasia, where Russia, China, Iran, India, and these other countries are moving toward transactions in their respective currencies. This is in stark contrast to the historical practice where the U.S. has successfully imposed the U.S. dollar as the default currency for trade around the world. Well, the only people who benefit from the U.S. dollar being a dominant global currency are the bankers, because what happens is that whenever a country, say, you know how Russia is selling these S-500 or S-400 anti-missile systems to India, and the U.S. Levied sanctions against India and is trying to block the transaction from happening. Well, what India and Russia are doing in order to get around this is that normally what would happen is that India would have to take its currency, buy U.S. dollars, and every time, you know, for anyone who's traveled abroad, you know, whenever you buy a foreign currency, you lose money. Like you lose a piece of that in for the cost of the transaction. So India loses money on the conversion to U.S. dollars, but the bankers are the ones making the money. Then they pay Russia for the S-400 systems in U.S. dollars, and then Russia has to take those U.S. dollars and pay a bank to convert them back to rubles so that Russia can use that money domestically. That's very expensive for everybody except the bankers and the U.S. So by virtue of paying for the S-400 systems in rubles, they're skipping that whole process and circumventing these ridiculous sanctions. So this is the same kind of thing we can do starting again, you know, on the local level, and then as, you know, communities get good at this stuff, expanding it to, you know, larger and larger communities and doing it in a controlled and systematic way where the community itself retains control instead of turning it over to another party who, you know, is just going to get corrupted again. That's the other thing with, like, community banks and credit unions and cooperatives. It's the same kinds of things where, you know, with the community banks, the people who have money in the bank are the ones who get to decide what happens with the bank's money. And, you know, they get to decide whether or not it's lent out to, you know, the people in their community. And they don't, you know, it's meant for the benefit of those who live there. And whereas, you know, these big banks that we use now, they take all of our money and then give it out to, you know, people who are care nothing about investing in the, you know, our infrastructure or livelihoods or anything like that. They take that money and go put it somewhere else. So, again, you know, it just reinforces the idea where the members of the communities themselves must have control and must maintain control of the decision making that directly affects their lives. It, you know, the representative model just has failed completely. So, you know, in terms of trade, the barter is, you know, works down, you know, you trade your chicken eggs for somebody else's ground beef, and we can do this also on the community level or the you know, municipal level, county or state level as well. We can negotiate our own agreements. And then in terms of passing laws, like what do you do when you eliminate the federal government and then, you know, even our state level governments have all been so highly corrupted that, you know, they are equally useless. But, you know, how do you decide, you know, what your rules will be? Well, you know, I just want to point out that, for example, I'm pretty sure none of us, you know, and you, me, the listeners, or Sunny, would be passing laws right now like what we're seeing in Virginia, or mandatory vaccination laws, which are also, you know, making their way across the country on a state-by-state level, and also that kind of legislation is in Congress. The censorship laws, the, you know, criminalizing boycott, divest, sanction Israel laws. I mean, these are not priorities that you and I would be focused on. They are not laws that we would be passing or, in, you know, efforts in which we would be investing our resources. We should be deciding the laws. And the way we do that is through ballot initiatives. And very interestingly, this was not something I had even thought about myself until I started reporting on and covering the Gilets Jaunes, the Yellow Vest movement in France. And that was, from very early on, a key aspect to their protest was the demand for direct democracy and the use of the citizen referendum. And this, the ballot initiative here in the U.S. is the equivalent of the citizen referendum in France. So the way, you know, I would envision this is that, you know, these communities that are already organized, you know, in terms of, you know, that are protesting the Second Amendment, for example, you know, that's a cohesive community in which these kinds of practices can begin to be deployed and experimented with, and, you know, people gain experience that they can share with other communities. And the more we strengthen one another, the stronger we become as sovereign communities unto ourselves. And we see this reflected on the global level where, for example, Russia intervened to defend Syria's democracy, sovereignty. And now we are seeing this unfolding more urgently in the Mideast, for example, with the alliance of these Arab nations to expel the U.S. military that has refused to leave. So, and then so along those lines, Russia working with other countries to trade in their own currencies facilitates not only the trade and contributes to both the economies of Russia and the trade partner, but it also, by trading in those individual currencies, reinforces the sovereignty of those individual nations. And, you know, this is a really important point to keep in mind as we go forward, because we're going to have to find ways to align our distinct and sometimes opposing communities along the lines in which we can defend against these imperialist forces. And I say that where, for example, you know, the misunderstanding around Islam, and I'm still learning it myself, and I had no idea that usury was illegal in Islamic banking. But again, that just speaks to me in such a way. It's like, oh, wow, these guys really are very much aligned in terms of values to the people of Europe who are, you know, who are being crushed by this banking system, this usury banking system. I mean, that's clearly. And then, you know, also around this propaganda that I mentioned before and how we're pitted against one another, it's really also very important to remember that ISIS is an Israeli creation, funded, armed, and supported by the United States and its their Western allies. ISIS is no more Muslim or Arab than the neo-Nazis in Ukraine are representative of the National Socialists in Hitler's Germany. They have nothing to do with one another, but it's always conflated, just like Zionism is being conflated with anti-Semitism. You know, one really has nothing to do with the other, although they do overlap at times. So, you know, it really is helpful to know these things when thinking about strategies for building a global movement, because that's what this has to be. These guys are constantly attacking regions and subverting their governments, like we saw with Bolsonaro and the coup attempt in Nicaragua in 2018. There was the attempt in Venezuela in 2019, and then the violent ongoing coup in Bolivia. They go after these regions to destabilize them, just like they did in the Mideast with the seven nations in 5 years that Wesley Snipes, General Wesley Snipes told us the Pentagon mapped out in the days following 9/11. I mean, so, you know, we're, again, you know, where we work on the community and the state level, we have to work on the regional as well as the global level. And we can do that now, given the, you know, digital networks that we now have really do make that possible. And I think we're seeing that in terms of the Truther community, at least, where, you know, the power of that network as a whole has really proved formidable for the mainstream propaganda machine. And we're seeing that every day as the attempts by officials grow ever more desperate to, cover for the crimes that they continue to commit all over the world. So, so we have barter in terms of international trade and alternative currency. We have employee-owned businesses in terms of, you know, larger projects and, you know, community banking and financing and, you know, how do you move forward with a financial support system, and these are legitimate options, you know, citizen tribunals in terms of holding these criminals accountable. And I think this is the easiest one to start with, because I think, you know, imagine what it would do for morale if we were to successfully convict, you know, a handful of these Uber criminals and issue arrest warrants for them, have people deputized, and then make legitimate efforts to actually take them into custody. I think someone did attempt to arrest Dick Cheney not too long ago under the same process. So, you know, and again, there is a network out there now that would be so supportive of this and uncovering it and be eager to see how it all unfolded and see it succeed. So I would really encourage people to think about these things and test them out in small ways and talk about others and just get used to thinking of yourself as a sovereign again, not, you know, and as an individual beyond your Second Amendment rights, even, you know, just your right to exist in a community that reflects your values. We've been stripped of that completely. And we can have these communities, you know, coexisting with one another, respecting, you know, the fact that we have different, you know, practices, cultures. But again, the survival, the protecting the integrity of each other's cultures is essential to the survival of our individual cultures, you know, that we exist in ourselves. And this goes for, you know, the Europeans who are, you know, desperately trying to save their historic cultures and language and, you know, way of life. You know, same for Latin America. Same, look what's, you know, the Mideast is on fire. And it's not because of Muslims or Arabs. It's because they're being invaded by these Zionist forces that are, you know, just setting fire to the globe. So I'd like to end it there tonight. I hope that was some good food for thought for you guys, and I look forward to any feedback that you might have. I really appreciate the opportunity to fill in for Sonny, and hopefully there'll be another opportunity for me to join him on the show. But thank you so much for listening in. I really appreciate your time, and hopefully I'll be back sometime in the near future. Have a good night, everyone.
You're listening to Resolution Radio, Radio, Radio.
ResolutionRDO.com.
My brothers, my sisters, I bring you a message of solidarity, a call to action, and a demand for adherence to duty of an Aryan resurgence and ultimately total Aryan victory. We have broken the chains of Jewish thought. We know not the meaning of the word mine. It is ours. our race, the totality of our people. 10 hearts, one beat. 100 hearts, one beat. 10,000 hearts, one beat. We are born to fight and to die and to continue the flow of our people. Onward we will go, onward to the stars, high above the mud of yellow, black, and brown. So kinsmen, duty calls. The future is now. If months from now you have not yet fully committed yourself to the Alliance, then you have in effect not only betrayed your race, you have betrayed yourself. So stand up like men and drive the enemy into the sea. Stand up like men and swear a sacred oath upon the green graves of our sires that you will reclaim what our forefathers discovered, explored, conquered, settled, built, and died for. Stand up like men and reclaim our soil. Kinsmen, arise. Look towards the stars and proclaim our destiny. Defeat never, victory forever.